Universität Hamburg.
Certain Frontiers, the Meanings of Alternative Verse in the Novels of Barış Müstecaplıoğlu is my title. In this paper, first, I will present a brief and general overview of the fantasy tradition of Turkish literature. Second, I will focus on Barış Müstecaplıoğlu's works. His novels seem to be interesting because they represent a unique and different model when analyzed within the fantasy genre in Turkey. In order to talk about Turkish fantasy literature now, we need to understand its roots in old history. With a short and simple overview, it can be said that the Ottoman Empire is about to fall in the late 19th century, and this caused the intellectuals to search for urgent solutions in order to overcome this crisis. At that time, they begin to feel blatantness for modernization, which the West has already experienced. This blatantness brings the empire a cultural break. The intellectuals believe that there is only one solution to become modernized, like the West did. As a result of this belief, all the establishments of the empire are revised according to Western model. This revision also involves literature, which is seen as a means of transforming society. It becomes a part of modernization and westernization project. Literature then has to be rational, realist, western, and even based on scientific facts. It has to get rid of its eastern and backwards tradition. In Ottoman literature, there are mesnevi, a specific story type. Mesnevi works originating from Persia. Narratives including historical and legendary events originating from India. Narratives including message of mysticism or wisdom and folk stories about love and bravery. All these narratives are open to religious and allegorical readings, or they are based on supernatural and magical adventures. On the other hand, the modernization process based on European rationalism and enlightenment has to deny supernatural, magical, mysterious and unbelievable, that's to say fantastic things. Within this perspective, from today's point of view, we can say that if a story is using elements of fantasy or fantastic narrative technique, it's supposed to be evaluated as nonsense, exaggeration, impossibility, childishness, and irrationality. On the contrary, in order to pursue the revision and refreshment in literature, according to the Ottoman literary critics and the authors, stories have to be realistic mirror for the society, avoiding going beyond the ordinary, material, and rationally predictable world. As a natural result of this, for a long time, literature, which is always expected to be realistic, mimetic, and socially concerned, has excluded fantasy. In fact, there are stories including fantastic elements, but the authors of these kinds of stories prefer fantastic elements only to impose their ideological aims to society and to educate, teach, and manipulate people. The common feature of early fantastic Turkish stories is that they do not have fantasy construction and try not to conceive the readers in impossibility. Thus, in early modern Turkish literature, the authors do not create fantasy genre for its own sake. Many of them are always based on realistic novel conventions, and they never have a fantasy rhetoric. This rhetoric requires, as Irwin says, as an overt violation of what is generally accepted as possibility. Again, according to him, a narrative is a fantasy if it presents the persuasive establishment and development of impossibility, an arbitrary construct of mind with all under the control of logic and rhetoric. In this respect, we can say that early Turkish authors usually do not break the reality or recreate it. However, as you know, fantasy breaks free from mundane reality. Although to define fantasy as a distinct literary genre is difficult, it can be said that early Turkish narratives cannot be evaluated as fantasy. The exclusion of fantasy from literature has continued for a long time. The westernization movement goes on after 1923 with the declaration of the Turkish Republic under the light of Kemalist discourse. At this time, westernization is taken much more seriously than ever before. According to the government, through modernization based on the West, especially France, a new secular modern identity of Turkey could be established. In this process, the new government, which defines itself as civilized, nationalist, and secular, evaluates westernization as the only way for modernization, like that was in the Ottoman period. In this context, the authoritarian governor class of Turkish Republic, consisting of the bureaucrats, the intellectuals, and the soldiers, undertakes the role as social engineers, and these people evaluate westernization as synonyms with rationalism and positivism. During this period, the literature is seen as a tool to transform society through Kemalist ideology. It has an essential role in building nations and creation of collective identities. So the literature again becomes a part of modernization and the westernization project, and the main aim of literature is to provide contributions to national discourse. In this context, the literature should be the production of the ideological collective will. It should educate people and support Kemalist reforms. Thus, we can say that in this period, within this perspective, the narrative should support Kemalist reforms to construct national culture and should be an imaginary mirror in which a nation reflects itself. In order to realize this, according to the literary critics, the authors, the narratives have to be rational and realistic. They should not be open to religious and allegorical readings or not based on the supernatural, magical, mysterious and unbelievable adventures. However, the sociopolitical pluralism that Turkey experienced during the 1950s changed this single voice literature. Now the state's ability to maintain its hegemonic status on the social identity of its citizen weakens. The modernization discourse also loses its strictness. These developments result in the emergence of a number of alternative discourse, and is also reflected in the literature. The narratives begin to tell different events of extraordinary characters. The monsters, vampires, unbelievable events, and inconceivable situations become visible in the stories. But the literary works, including this kind of material, are evaluated as a product of popular literature and are not taken seriously by literary critics. If I summarize the adventure of fantasy in Turkish literature up to 50s, I can easily say that the fantastic novel in Turkish literature is perceived as a means by which the authors represent the modernization process they favor. Because they claim an active role in shaping of modernization discourse, starting from Tanzimat period, the constitutional period, and the declaration of the Republic till 1960s. Within this context, the fantastic novel is materialized as a function to convey the author's own argumentations on modernization. The fantastic novel aims either to impose a modernization which is based on rational, materialist, and positivist worldview, or to include spiritual and mystical worldview into modernization. Nevertheless, it does not become widespread due to the social and the literary reasons. Apart from the fact that it becomes popular genre in 1950s when the modernization discourse loses its strictness and the publishing industry flourishes and diversifies. However, fantasy cannot display itself as a central genre but remains as a peripheral one. Besides, it has constantly been dismissed by critics as being embrace of irrationality and childish. The Turkish Republic always experienced some breaks, transformations, and even several coup d'etats. All those years, the main concern is always social issues in Turkish literature. However, after 1980s, some changes have appeared in Turkish literature tradition. It can be said that intellectuals and the authors lost their enthusiasm about social matters and hopes about the future. They quit reflecting social issues directly. Of course, the reason of the change in Turkish literature requires more elaborate research, but we can say that after the 80s, most of Turkish authors give up writing realistic social-focused fiction. At this time, their sociopolitical ideology, of course, profoundly does not disappear, but is only implied in their works, and they start to be interested in fantasy, but does not affect many critics. Fantasies have still been seen obscure by many critics, and they see fantasies as opposed to the human and more civilized practices of realistic literature. If we look at the situation of the readers, we can say that generally most of Turkish readers have not been interested in Turkish novels, including fantastic elements. Rather, they usually prefer fantastic novels translated from American literature. When we come to 2000s, as in the rest of the world, The Lord of the Rings becomes very popular in Turkey. Turkish readers have not met this kind of fantasy before. As I said, although they are less in number, Turkish novels, including fantastic things, never construct secondary, superior, alternate worlds. They do not invent supernatural regions. Instead of doing that, they usually present natural world inverted into something strange. In this respect, Barış Müstecaploğlu's novels represent a unique and different genre and style among Turkish novels. This very young author writes a series of four books called Perk Efsaneleri, The Legends of Perk, which is published by one of the most prestigious publishing houses in Turkey. The readers show a great interest in all these novels. The first book of series is Korkak ve Canavar, The Coward and the Monster, is published 2002. Barış Müstecaploğlu defines fantasy as a genre which represents the events in an imaginary world. According to him, the fantasy invents an independent world from the real world and constructs alternative realities. For him, it does not invert elements of this world or recombines its constitutive features in a new relationship to produce something strange. Instead of doing this, the author of the fantasy describes the world in which every detail, such as its mythology, geography, history, and race, belongs to the author. In this context, he thinks that the fantasy cannot be local. It has no affiliation with the culture in which it is written. Thus, for him, the fantasy becomes a universal genre, and all the readers in the world are familiar to the world of the novel. All of them, regardless of their nationality, can identify themselves with the characters in the fantasy. In this respect, he presents a world which has equal distance to all readers in the fantasy. This world, Perk, is the first fantastic world in Turkey. There are races, nations, animals, vegetations, dresses, which are peculiar to this world. In Perk, all races speak a common language. Language of Perk, invented by the author of the book. There are gods called Kadim Güçler, the ancient powers, but no holy books or prophets because they do not expect people to worship. In ancient powers, rarely interfere with the life. Besides the gods, there are also immortal people representing wisdom, innocence, friendship, hatred, and power. There are also the magic, charm, curse, supernatural animals, legendary ships, interesting places, and magical tools. Perk is described as an absolutely different, alternative, and secondary world, which is relatively autonomous. It transcends the reality, escapes the human condition, and constructs another alternative world based on an absolute imagination. Its relationship with our real world is only in terms of metaphorical reflection. There is no shifting relationship between real and imaginary world, so the readers never feel any hesitation and uncertainty about the existence of this world. The narrator of the story has a position like in a fairy story. The narrator is impersonal and has become an authoritative knowing voice. However, although this narrator seeming omniscient at first look, he often gives up narrating and the characters narrate their own adventures. Besides, there is another difference in the narrative from the fairy tales. The characters are not just good or evil. They have weak and powerful sides, sorrows, pains, secrets, and feelings of revenge. We see the transformation of them. In time, they discover many things about themselves. In this respect, they do not represent just types, and we see their inner world, internal contradictions, fears, failures, that is to say, psychological situations of them. The first novel of the series, The Coward and the Monster, describes a story about beauty and ugliness. It attempts to destroy the prejudice toward the concept of physical appearance. It shows the readers that there is no absolute good or evil, nobody is perfect, and someone who is ugly looking may be a very good person. The message of the book is that you should be self-confident, you should trust and love yourself. The second book, Merdaran'ın Sırrı, The Secret of Merdaran, criticizes the prejudice and generalization about the nations and races. The third book, Bataklık Ülke, The Mud Covered Country, criticizes the intolerance to different thoughts and beliefs and defenses the freedom of belief. In the story, there are meaningless wars originated by the tension between the religious, which caused huge destructions. The message of this book is that if the governors agree to live together regardless of different beliefs of people, the peace can be possible. Although his fantasy represents another totally imaginary world, the problems of this world look like the ones of our physical real world. In the last book, Tanrıların Alfabesi, The Alphabet of the Gods, all challenges cast and adventures end happily, and there are explanations for every question in the narrative. And the last message becomes never to give up struggling. Thus, Barış Müstecaplıoğlu invents another world, and function of his fantastic world with this happy end is to fulfill a desire for a better, more complete and unified reality. To sum up, I can say that through the legends of Berk, Barış Müstecaplıoğlu proves that it is possible to produce a fantasy genre in Turkish literature. He presents events that are in the long distant past in a non-secularized world. In his fantasy about moral values, beauty, destiny, will, desire, fights for ruling, ambitions, heroism and friendship. In this respect, it can be said that he has a nostalgic and humanistic vision. Besides this, he also tries to reflect the problems of today's world and offers indirectly the solutions for them through his magical world. Thank you.